Tal Chaim on page Samach Tes. Samach Tes. So the question is, what's life like moving from the Pekida to the Zechira? That's what we're talking about from the Ramchal. In between the Pekida and the Zechira, there's a Pekida and it hasn't yet come to the Zechira. Really, that's the matzav that we're in. This time, thank you, post-Pekida, but pre-Zechira. Or does the Pekida continue? Is there a break? What? How does that work? So the Ramchal explains this. With this we can understand all that's been happening, all that we've been living through these years. We're watching Mamish, the Geula, unfold before our eyes, Mamish. On page Samach Tes, Mavur B'Ramchal, Sheshefa Pekida Hayrig'i, Losses the Shechina Lokum may offer Hagolus. Ramchal, and the Gvar writes about this, many tzaddikim saw the same thing with their holy eyes. And they saw this not only in Tanakh, but they saw it with Ruach HaKodesh, that there was going to be this great, powerful surge of energy. And Am Yisrael was going to get up from Golus. There would be this Pekida, but it would be for the moment. It would be temporary. To give the Shechina Korach Lokum Me'afra HaGolus, that Knesset Yisrael, the Shechina, would sort of tear off the chains of Golus. But Ula'ach Mikain Yigonez Shuv. But then afterwards, the light and the clarity of the Pekida is once again hidden. And there'll be a terrible weakening and loss of ruach. Shekein hamor hagadol nignas v'nista, because the great light is hidden again. Mizula shana. These are the words of the Ramchal. This is alluded to in the Zohar Kaddish and the Kisveri of what it's going to be like at the end of time. There'll be a great, tremendous flash of light, of pekida, and a resurgence of strength, and a desire to get up out of Golus, but then there's going to be a lapse. There'll be a time of tremendous confusion. The Ramchal writes, over there in the Maimar HaGula, V'nimsa shebishas ha-pekida na'as ezeh ha-chibur, at the time of the pekida, there is this connection, V'ha'or mizgaber b'fnim b'koh gadol, and there's a great, great illumination of light. But v'lo yamed zeh ha'chibur, but this doesn't remain. Ki l'shaitahu, it's temporary. V'zeh sh'omar pasachti ani l'dodi, v'dodi chamak avar. It says in Shir Shirim, I went to open up for my beloved, but Dodi Chamak Avar, but my beloved disappeared, went away. So you might think that if there was this opening, this light, but the Dod disappears, there was a Kima, there was an opening for the beloved, but then nothing, in the end, they didn't get together. So you might think, what's the Tachlis? So it didn't work out. It failed. So the Ramchal says, V'al taymish lo asa pula pekida hazayis, ke'az lasla. Don't think that because the pekida disappeared, or the pekida, that light, went back into a place of hiding, that it left everything the same. In other words, kilu didn't happen. It's not true. Therefore, the pasuk goes on and says, "Nafshi yatsa b'dabro." My soul left when I heard him calling. In other words, something happened. there was a very, very great roishim that was made. We've spoken about this so many times that the Arizal says this over and over, that wherever there was once light, it always leaves a roishim, like Vayetze Yitzchak, right? That when the tzaddik was in that place, it leaves something. It doesn't, he doesn't leave it the same way that it was before he was there. So there is something that happened. Nafshi yotza b'dabro. Ki kvar ha-nefesh ha-nemar ba-nafshi b'sarich levoyim eshkava. Because in Golas, the description of the Shechina of Knesset Yisrael in Golas is that I'm sitting among the lion cubs. I'm lying among the lion cubs. And it's my enemies. They're devouring me. They're killing me. That's how we are in Golas. Kvar yotza mimazger me'ez dabro. But nafshi yotza b'dabro. That was the Jewish soul has been drawn out because of that brief encounter, that moment of the Pekida. Something happened. Something changed. Since that Nafshi Yotza B'Dabra, something changed. And that's why there was a Pekida. The Pekida is a visit. It's not yet finished. But that visit, that visit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, together with Knesset Yisrael, the Shechina, left some sort of an imprint of Nafshi Yotza B'Dabro. Yes, it's true, Dodi Chamak Avar. We went to open and we thought that would be it. Now Mashiach's coming and it will be Gula. And Brach Dodi, and the Beloved runs off. And we couldn't hold them together. It didn't work out. But already, Nafshi Yotza B'Dabro, something changed. The Ramchal says, it's already different. It's not that the nefesh is no longer imprisoned. There was a pekida, something changed. So Talmud Chaim explains, Zos ha-pe'ula shehizrachasha be'ez ha-pekida. This is what happened at the time of the pekida. V'soid ha-nefesh she'yotzi m'mazgir, and the secret of this, of the soul leaving its prison, he oisa his oirus pnimis ne'elemis, is the great hidden hisoirus, this hisoirus pnimis ne'elemis that we've been learning about. The waking up from Golas. That feeling that we can't anymore continue the way that it once was. It's not going to be that way anymore. And this longing to come back to the land and to change ourselves and to make ourselves into a people and so on. Something happened.
The Ramchal already sensed this happening in his time.
Beside Hashefa Sheheir Lanishma, but he was very strong Ruach HaKodesh as far as how this was going to accelerate in the future. Beside Hashefa Sheheir Lanishamas Bilvad. As we learned earlier, there was a shefa that the neshamas of the Jewish people felt, but it wasn't yet revealed in an open, clear way. The neshama felt that something changed. But it wasn't understood. It was something crazy happened. There was some awakening. We're not going to go back to how it was, but what was it exactly? What was it, and how are we to understand it, and what are we to do with this? So as we were learning in the last few prakim, that those people who were not interested in the Rabbi Shalom, were not interested in Yiddishkeit and to believe in Torah, so they saw this as some great nationalistic upheaval, Hesiris, but they didn't see the Shem Hashem in it. Like Megillas Esther, it didn't have God's name in it. There was this feeling of absolute disgust and abhorrence with Golas, and that we're not going to settle for it anymore. We can't take it anymore. That's it. We're not going to live this way anymore. But what now? So without the Shem Hashem, it became, to a large extent, something which was secular. It didn't have Torah and mitzvahs. I mean, there was, but to a large extent, it wasn't like that. Losgala chutzel lesichlam. It wasn't misgala yet in the seichel to understand what was going on, what's happening. Uladaitem shel habriyos. Uladaitem shel habriyos. The understanding of It wasn't understood. B'shlava z'chira. That's only going to happen. When will it become clear what this is? That's only b'shlava z'chira. Yo'ir or ha'or l'chitzonius. By the shlav, by that stage of the z'chira, then the or will illuminate even the chitzonius, that will understand that this is Hashem calling to us. And then we'll know, we'll see the Shem Hashem everywhere. And then we'll see that the building of the land and being free from Golus is not just to be, Am Chavshi Baritzainu, but to build Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, to build Kedusha Saharetz, Kedusha Yisrael. To come back to Hashem, to build the Beis HaMikdash. Not just to make a nice cities and build, to build the Beis HaMikdash. So it Roivet HaKorva HaSoga Shalabriyas, then there will be that understanding. So Amchal is describing that time in between the Pekida and the Zechira. The Pekida means that there was that visit. Kivyachal, Hashem entered into our neshamas. And then Dodi Chamakavar, then there was the disappearance again. And what? So the question now that Amchal is talking about is what's between the Pekida and the Zechira? Lacher higanzus or apkida, after the light of the pkida slipped away. Vakosev shebishlav zeh yeh dildul shel hatayru. The Ramchal writes that in that stage there'll be a great weakening of Tayru. Vuha kfir, and there'll be great heresy, kfir. You know when you feel that something is happening, but you don't know what it is, and you're not identifying there's something which is religious, so then the effects of that could be, as far as Emunah is concerned, could be devastating. In the back, there's a long note explaining the inyan of kfir according to Rav Kook. There's a lot on this subject of kfir, of heresy, of rejection of Yiddishkeit at the end of time. So in between the Pekid and the Zechira, just like any person, you know what it's like when you have something fantastic, something you've been looking forward to your whole life, and there's something great that happens, and then it's gone. It disappears. So there's a terrible letdown, a terrible disappointment. You were already there. Something was happening, something was great, and then you don't know where it's going, you don't understand, and then sort of that excitement is gone, and you're left with that emptiness that leads to kfir. There are other deeper meanings of what happened with the kfir. But dildo shatorvu akfir shana roim bedor apkida, that we see in this generation of post pekida that we're in now, this time, not just one generation, this period after the pekida. Vaymer amchal. Shetovo Chulsha Gedol, Ramchal wrote that there's going to be a great weakness that's going to come over the Jewish people. Ad Shetisgala Hamadrega Bo, until the final stage will be revealed, Shalaschira of the remembrance. Mizulashon, these are the words of the Ramchal. Vata Havein, Kinimtsu B'Mo'eres Bayis V'Chutz. And now you need to understand that regarding these lights, there's a light, Mibayis M'Chutz, in other words, it's in the state of Pnimius and Chitzonius. And we could use the marshal of the soul and the body. There's some inner mysterious tikkun that takes place by the pekida, and that's why Rav Kook spoke so often about the chutzpah at the end of time. Right, the chutzpah of the general, like the Gemara says, that at the end of time there'll be tremendous chutzpah, and Rav Kook explained that we learned a lot about that. What's the chutzpah at the end of time? The chutzpah is that because there was this pekida that left a certain roshem, there's this demand to understand. There's this feeling like I don't get it, and I want to understand. So for many, many years, even the time between when I was a kid and now, which is not a long time, I feel this difference is so clear. Those of us who are already late 50s, 60, and you went to regular yeshivas in those years, the feeling was that, they tell you what to do, and you just do it. I don't know. We just did it. I don't know. You just put your finger on the Gemara and read the Gemara, and I never thought of asking, why are we doing this? It never entered our minds, why do this? And just do it. And we just went like that. Same thing with davening and with mitzvahs. It was just sort of a... And a lot of the kids are not going for that anymore. Like, that's not working anymore. So the Rebbeim who are like my age, they're not sure what to do about this. They don't know what to make of this. So if Cook spoke, that there'll be tremendous insolence, tremendous chutzpah, because there's a demand to hear the rest of the story. Like, what's going on? Which is very healthy. But if you don't have the answers, then it's a very healthy thing. Because there was a pekida, and there was this appearance of the dod, and something happened inside the nefesh. It wasn't revealed yet, and I don't understand it, but I know there's something there, there's something big, and I'm asking questions. I demand, I feel that I have the right to understand, what is this whole thing about Yiddishkeit? And it doesn't work anymore at this age. Okay, if you keep on doing the mitzvahs, then you'll know. Didn't you ever hear that when you were younger? You just keep on doing the mitzvahs, and then... I'm doing mitzvahs my whole life. I never found out like what they were talking about. Just keep on doing it. Every time we asked anything, all right, just read the next. And what is this all? What? You just keep on doing it, and you'll find out. And now the guys are saying to the Rebbe, "Why? Did you ever find out? It doesn't look to me like you're so into it yourself. You know what I mean? Like, did you ever find out what it is? What's the secret?" So there's this unbelievable need to know the secret, to understand, and there's this demand to see how all the pieces fit together. And when they're not fitting together, there's kfira. Then there's the kfira, it's a heresy. That's why you see, I say this all the time, you see why the chevra, that the so-called, everybody is saying, well, they will have to dare chevra. These chevra, when you talk to them, they mamish want to know. Most of them have the strongest Indian of emes, and they want to know the whole thing, and no one's telling them. They haven't yet met the person that's telling them, or whatever. And it comes out in all kinds of crazy ways, but it's a tremendous, tremendous chukka for the truth. And then when Yiddishkeit is not coming up with it for them, then they just walk away and they say, so it's all baloney. It's a bunch of baloney. The whole thing is baloney. They don't know themselves, and they're not so... what is it? I don't see that everybody's I don't see that the people that I looked up to when I was younger that they're so into it themselves. They're just doing it, and it brings the kfira. It brings the tremendous kfira. So it's an odd thing when there are less expectations, there are less disappointments. But that's how life is, right? It used to be when people got married, they had very little expectations. So they got married. They figured, you know, she'll cook and clean. I'll make a living and whatever. They had very low expectations. It wasn't there was no big shidduch crisis, in 1840. What was the expectation? What, do you think they had to send pictures of the cow in those days? Of the girl? She's Jewish. She walks. And even if she doesn't walk, she can crawl. She can crawl. Okay. It's like, and what about him? He's hunchbacked. Can he make a living like that? He could do something lower down than higher up. It's okay. It's also good. There were very low expectations. You talk to every single girl is walking around now, like thinking, like, you know, yeah, very. I ask, what are you looking for? She says, what am I not looking for? She's looking, what am I looking for? Talmud Chacham and makes a living, and he's kind, and he's good, and he loves his mother, whatever, you know, Allah Milas. Really, if you talk to the old chavra, she's Jewish and she's from the... Get along. And if it became something more than that, there was a bonus. It wasn't expected. When you have high expectations, then you're going to have big disappointments. Our generation has very high expectations, so they get very disappointed. The old generation didn't have much expectations, not for marriages, not from the Baruch Shalom either. They didn't have big expectations. They didn't need to have a shir on Tuesday night in Tal Lechaim. They didn't need to have that. They didn't have big expectations. They just... low expectations and small, very little disappointment. So it didn't work out for you. You know, all your brothers and sisters were all killed. You know, everybody's... Things like that happened. Now, if somebody, you know, if somebody's pet dies, he can't be religious anymore. My dog. How am I going to live? How could God do this to me? Big expectations. Your dog has to also live 100 and so on. People have such expectations now. And they're so disappointed all the time. Everybody's disappointed. The truth is, the Baruch Hashem can do everything. Hey, Paul Meshan Dora. And we're wondering, why can't Itaka do it? Why can't it be better? Right? Why can't it be Me'achuz? Why does it have to be like this, dragging around for so long? But I never in my life heard my father talk about these things. Ever in my life heard my father asking kashas or talking about these things, and he had plenty of reasons to ask. And my mother never asked. She always says, "Gleb to Abish, I never thought I'd live. I'm happy I'm alive, and he's so good to me." Never heard it. My mother saying, "How could it be? What's like this?" I never heard them. Never heard them talk like that. Not one deep word from my parents ever on these kind of questions. But now, if somebody, every day I talk to people that they can't go on with their Yiddishkeit because of this and because of that. And it hurts, I understand, they're hurting. All kinds of stuff, but the kind of things that, if I try to explain to my father, because he asked me the other day about a certain bocher that he remembered, there was a friend of mine, and I haven't seen this guy in many years, my father said, "How's so-and-so doing?" So I said, "I haven't seen him in a long time, but I heard that he got into some trouble and that he wasn't sure." My father doesn't understand these things, like the disappointment, and it didn't work out for you, and God wasn't good enough for you, and therefore now you're not putting on tefillin or something because you didn't get the job you wanted, or you didn't get the girl you wanted, or something. So now, or whatever, your rebbe made a sour face, your rebbe gave you a pasha or something. So now you're not going to be from anymore. That whole mabat of life is totally foreign. There are little expectations and there are very little disappointments. But our generation has tremendous expectations, which is a healthy sign, which is very good. Except whenever you have big expectations, you're going to get beaten. When you have big expectations, you get hurt when they're not met. That's our generation. Everything is a big inyan. Everything is a big issue. It's like expectations and the disappointments, you know. In the old days, you expected that your husband was going to be such a gevaldik tzaddik, you know what I mean? And if he turned out to be a tzaddik, you were lucky. But now every girl thinks that her husband's going to be a tzaddik. So the first time he raises his voice, the first time he's sleeping in bed past the seventh minyan, you know, in the shul, and he's still sleeping, and then she's wondering what happened to my tzaddik. The Rosh Hashiva said that he's going to be the next Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, and he's sleeping in bed over there, and then she's sabrach. Oy, my tzaddik, he's not a tzaddik. What happened to my tzaddik? It's bitter. Yeah, Moshe.
It's a sense of entitlement. Forget about expectations.
That goes with entitlement. Expectations, entitlement is the same. It goes, it's the Trey Randlum is pardon. It's the two, those two never go without each other. Expectations and the generation of expectations, the generation of entitlement, it's the same thing. Disappointed, always disappointed. Be walking around young people, 16, 17-year-old people that have a history of disappointments in life, that have things that didn't work out. When they're 16 years old already, they have so many disappointments. They have so many disappointments. But we're trying to understand, where does that come from? The Torah says that something happened, something was shaken up deep inside of us that said that it could be a lot better. Things can be a lot better. Things are thought going to be better. And Mashiach's around the corner. And that feeling of expectation is so strong. And the letdown when things don't work out is according to the expectation. It's very strong. Very strong. And that of course brings to the feeling of entitlement. It's kumtzumir. Everything is kumtzumir. Everything. Yeah, if a person's 20 years old, he wants to be a multimillionaire. Why don't you work for 20 years, 30 years, maybe save up a few dollars? No. And then always disappointed. Didn't work out. But the hardest place is when it comes to marriage is the disappointment. Well, you see nice people, good people, husbands and wives, and it's not working out. Unless, God forbid, there's somebody that's mamish, a criminal, or somebody that's abusive, but they're not working it out. They're all expectations and disappointments. And then the kaifa in the marriage, there's a kfira, a rejection. I can't be in this relationship if it's not at a certain place. I was just on the phone today with a young man. This whole mess that happened with his wife, and he's very, very, very hurt. And he said to me, Eloshin, this is like 3 hours ago, I was driving, he said, Eloshin, he says, Rebbe, do you think that I should forgive her for what she did? That's what he asked me. I said, yeah, I think you should. I said, that's a hard thing to do. She did a bad thing. Something I might say with a guy. I said, it's a hard thing to do. I said, but if you heard this about somebody else, and if Chas v'Chilil, it was your daughter that did that, and she was tzibrochen, and she did something that was out of character, not that she's bad. She just made a mistake. She made a bad mistake, but she's sorry, and she wants to be good, and she's trying hard to be good. Wouldn't you say that she should be forgiven? He said, I would say that. I said, I know it's hard for you to do it. I'm not saying that I could do it either. If God forbid such a thing happened to me, it's hard. But sof kol sof. But he said, how could I? I can't look at her. I can't look at her anymore. Again, I can't look at her. I can't talk to her. I can't look at her. I can't look at her. His wife. I don't know if it's going to make it, this relationship. I can't look at her. She's crying. She's begging. She's sorry. It was a mistake. She made a mistake. It's funny how men can get away with this stuff all the time. And the wives are forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. But if a wife makes a mistake, it's forget it. Finished, the end of the parasha. He wants everything to be perfect, just like this. Women can work with imperfections. Men have a problem with it. Not everybody, but women have the ability to do that. Men, because they can't stand the way that it makes them look imperfect. It makes them feel imperfect. Women don't have such a beginning like that. But it's the expectations are very high. And if something goes wrong, then the whole thing is hutra ritzu, it's hafalm. You can't stay married. It's a bad thing. I'm not saying it's good, it's bad. But you could fix it. Work on it. You could fix it. It can't be. I said to him, it can be. There'll always be a little thing in the back of the head that's hurt. But that doesn't mean, you have children, you have a family. It can be. But nowadays, to talk to chaver, it's very hard. Kids, it's very, very hard. The expectations. But we need to understand that there's an aura in the neshamas of the end of time that creates such a longing for something big. And when it's not met, that's why we have such kfir, such chutzpah. Such chutzpah. In the past, there wasn't this demand to understand everything. So why do I have to wave a chicken over my head? That's what Jews, we wave chickens overhead. Just do it. It's good for you. This, if you do it, you're going to go to Gan Eden. And that was good enough. Our grandparents took the for thousands of years, they're waving chickens, and then and now it's the chicken's not happy, and the no one's happy, and now you're cruel to the chickens, and why should I do this to the chicken? Chicken never did anything bad to me, and became a whole personal thing against chickens, and why should we do this to the chicken? Same in you now, you see this drisha that women have, that they have to do this and they have to do that in the shul and to be in the, all these things. But the yesod of it is very holy. That's where people make a mistake just to make fun. It's not the point to make fun. There's something, the sherish of it is there was an aura, there was dodi chama kavar. There was the appearance of the beloved, and when he left, so there's a vacuum, there's an emptiness, and there's this feeling of like, I want it. I want this, except it gets all confusing and misleading, and people misinterpret and so on. That's our generation.
Is the Pekita that Chabad is talking about a specific event that happens to all of Klal Yisrael, or everybody has their own event?
It doesn't. There are events that take place. Pekita, again, when it says a moment, doesn't mean mamas 60 seconds. Okay. Yeah, there is something that appears on the surface. We know that clearly, the whole union of Eretz Yisrael and the getting out of Galus and coming back. But what he's explaining is, the Ramchal is saying, is that it's really something that happens in Nishmas Yisrael. It's not necessarily...
Communal or individual? That's my question.
Everybody. But it's experienced and felt in different ways. It's felt in different ways. So one person, it comes with this feeling that I'm not gonna stand here and be insulted by my father anymore. I've had enough of this. Which it was never like that. Everybody was. And another person is that I don't want to be poor my whole life and live like this my whole life. And I'm going to go make a lot of money and so on. It comes out in different ways, but it's every individual, unless someone's not well. But in a healthy person, there's this unsettled feeling of that something, there's some opportunity, there's something great. Well, he's going to write more about it now. So he's saying the Ramchal, okay, so there's nefesh aguf, tikkun and nefesh nasa bepkida, and misham b'halat tzarech tikkun aguf, but it hasn't yet, the tikkun in reality, in life, hasn't yet happened. It's not visible. V'alkein nimsa choshech acharea, therefore there's a darkness that follows, v'roiv ha-choshech ha-Torah ha-leches mishtakachas, and there's a great forgetfulness of Torah, a loss of Torah, v'chol yad azla, and a terrible weakening of the arm, meaning of Yiddishkeit, v'chol zroa chalsha, a weakness, ad ya'ir or olam, until the light of all worlds will shine, until the zechira. Al kain, gomar kosev omar, ki eisha b'choshech Hashem orli. Although I sit in darkness, Hashem is my light. V'hu medabra ala choshech hazeh ha-mischadesh achra ha-pekida. The Ramchal says this is referring to the darkness after the disappearance of the Dod, after the Pekida. Shakva hiskira ki nafalti kamti. Because it said earlier, nafalti kamti, I got up. I'm up. In other words, there was this awakening, but then it didn't follow through. There was an awakening, a longing for Geula. So the whole Indian of Zionism, what happened with that? Communism is also part of all of this. So all of these things were going on at the same time. Starting really from the Industrial Revolution, that whole period of knowing, of wanting to understand, of climbing out of the dark ages and wanting to understand, and then people wanting to be free to determine their own fate, not to be under the control of others. And there was this great... It was all happening the same time as the Ramchal and the Vilna Gaon and the Baal Shem Tov. This is all happening, starting then. There was a kima. There was an awakening. But despite the awakening, or after the awakening, Eisha b'chayshach Hashem orli. Ramchal mevayer sh'ama'iris aruchim b'sod pnimius v'chitzainius. Ramchal is explaining that the ma'iris, the lights, are arranged in an order of pnimius and chitzainius, bayis inside, v'chutz and outside, ha'mashulm k'nefesh v'guf, the marshal of the soul and the body. Haynu, sheyesh or shemeir rak l'neshama, there's a certain light that illuminates only deeper than the soul. How that's expressed on the outside depends on the person's upbringing, education, so on, but there's something that happened deep inside. There's another or that it's not only inside, but it comes on the outside. It shows on the outside. Lein habriyos vasagasa, before the eyes and the understanding of everybody. Bepkida nasa hatikun bepnimius aneshem. But the pkida, there was a tikkun that happened in the pnimius of the neshem. A tikkun, Ramchal says, in the pnimius aneshem. But like we learned earlier, that doesn't mean people understood. Like, what is that? It's just I want something bigger. I want something better. There was idealism, and nationalism, and communism, and socialism, and Zionism, and something more, something greater. To culture and art and music, all of that was suddenly became part of our interests and our b'chlal in the world, but especially by us. But v'lo heyir chutzo. But it didn't have the name of Hashem clearly written on it. We didn't associate that with Hashem. We didn't understand. We didn't understand what is it? Ramchal is teaching us that between the Pekid and the Schir there's a darkness. Vatera telach v'tishtakech, and there'll be a terrible forgetting of Torah, a loss of Torah. I was reading in a sefer the other day that there was a huge Talmud Chacham. Doesn't say, it just says Rabbi Yosef didn't even want to say the town, because the story's a little bit of a harsh story. But this Rabbi Yosef, it says, was a big guy, and was a big Talmud Chacham. And he had a married son, and the married son was also Talmud Chacham, and the married son came to the Seder. And at the Seder, the married son was saying, he was saying, like all Chassidim say, and Svadim, he was saying, Hareni Muchen Mezumen, right? Before Hareni Muchen Mezumen Lekayim Mitzvah. So he said it like out loud. And the father said, phew. The father said, Hareni Muchen Mezumen. What does it mean, Muchen Mezumen? I am ready and prepared to be Mekayim, the Mitzvah, whatever, Achilles Matzah, right? Abba Krisis, whatever. Hareni Muchen Mezumen. So father asked him, tell me something. He said to his son, I hear you screaming out, Hareni Muchen Mezumen. Tell me something, did you learn the entire Masechta Pesachim before Yantiv? He said, no, I didn't. Yeah. Not even the Bavli? No. And what about the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Pesach? Some of it I didn't. What about the Simonim on the Seder? What about, I did some. So it says in the Sefer, the father went over and slapped him across the face and said, then don't scream out the Muchen and Mezumen, you're not ready for Achilles Matz. So he said. Now, what happened to this? What's the end of the story? So the son spent the entire year learning Be'iyun, Masechta Pesachim, Bavli Yerushalmi, and all the Midrashim. And he learned Torah and Shulchan Aruch, all of Hilchos Pesach. And he came next year to the Seder, and he whispered, I mean, he still whispered it. So, and the Sefer was saying how that's how it used to be. Now that's what, he would never come to the next Seder, it would be the end of the father and son. But he said, but it used to be such a thing that now there'll be a tikkun that he's going to fix this. Can you imagine such a madrega that this is talking about during the time it says in the Sefer at that time of in between World War I and World War II? This is when this ma'aseh happened. The father slapped him because he didn't learn the whole Masechta Pesachim. So how could you say Hareni Muchen Mezumen? Such a hasaga to have. Lucky now, if somebody read the Maxwell House Haggadah, three pages, and looked up online to say four Verdlach, there's kids, right? This guy goes smack across their face. He didn't learn the whole Masechta Pesachim. And the tour in the Shulchan Aruch now didn't finish. So you're not ready for Yantiv. You're not ready for Yantiv. The Hasagas. There's a tremendous, tremendous forgetting of Torah, a loss of Torah between the Pekid and the Zechira. And he can't Talmud Soid Godel. Now here's a very great secret. Now we're just going to be able to start it a little bit. Why is this? So this is a tremendous side. Because in order for us to develop physically, shel am yisrael, huchu chadav shetova chul shabuchanis, it had to be that there would be some spiritual weakening. Imagine if a baby were born, if you had a little baby, and the baby's 3 weeks old, 2 weeks old, and the baby says, I'd like to go to the library. And the kid starts to talk when he's 2 weeks old. And the parents get scared, and the kid says, I'd like to see some Dostoevsky and some Shakespeare. Those weeks and months of the beginning are not for that. And if the child would be fixated on ruchnius and on intellectual development, then he or she wouldn't develop physically in a healthy way. It's a secret of creation. All the Sforim talk about this is what's going to be at the time of the Pekida, after the Pekida. that there's going to be an obsession with physical life at the expense of spirituality. Because if you're completely wrapped up in the ruchnias, then there could be a neglect of the gashmias. Then the guf is not going to be built. Why does it have to be this way? We're learning about this whole sugi, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. Obviously, that's not ideal, but that's the teva hadvarim. That's what he's explaining. In order that there be the physical rebuilding after all the thousands of years of tzibrochenkai, that we'd be able to build ourselves physically. There had to be some spiritual weakening. That's not ultimately what's going to be. Everything's going to fit together. But there had to be this weakening of the spirit. Now, Chal writes that there's going to be this darkness of Torah after the Pekida. And there'll be a tremendous amount of Torah that's lost. The truth is that all of this is ultimately so that we begin to rebuild physically. In order to invest completely in developing ourselves physically, physically doesn't mean to bodybuilding, you understand? It means of the people in a healthy way, getting out of galus and so on. It caused there to be a weakening of the spirit of ruchnias, a weakening of ruchnias. Look, it wasn't like the guys from the yeshiva bachum were fit. They were shakua, they were immersed in ruchnias, and the gashmius was underdeveloped. That's just the reality. Kitivar shalmisha oisek b'chal kaicha b'gashmius. When a person is completely immersed in gashmius, he puts all of his strength into gashmius. Shebehechrech tismait esla ruchnias. The ruchnias is going to be lowered. If he's completely into the gashmias, then the ruchni is Islam. We see this with our eyes with the people that are accomplishing. Even the people that build up the shul and take care of everything in the shul and so on, it's not usually the biggest lumdim. Not that they're not smart, not that they're not bright, not that they don't love learning, but there's a certain koach hagashmi that it's on the cheshbon of the ruchni. He says, that's just how life is. Achoser izun yachlof. Now, I'm going to have to see, as a reminder next time, I'm going to have to see that's in the back of the sefer, the 17. We'll have to look at that. There's something very important there. But this is not, this lack of balance is not permanent. That's not the way it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be that way. David Melech went with his sword and went to fight, and David Melech was the biggest lamdan. It's not supposed to be like that. Divided, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, Yosef Yehuda. It's not supposed to be like that. The truth is that Jews can't be apart from Hashem forever. They can't go on. They can't live like that. Jews can't live without God. Even someone that's completely immersed in gashmius. And he's like the biggest chalutz, okay, wearing little shorts and a kovat temba like they used to wear. And he's wearing his cutout t-shirt and he's working the fields and doesn't want to hear a word about Yiddishkeit. He can't go for so long like that. A Jew can't live like that, just with gashmius. We need that. We needed that to have people that are going to do that kind of work. Because typically we weren't up to the job. But those people, they were up to the job. We can't live like this, though. It's only for a little bit. But the spiritual hunger comes back, the Jews. Comes back. You see a lot of times it's by their kids. Mm-hmm. By their kids, by their grandchildren. The ones that they're still Jews. You see that they came back very strong by their children, by their grandchildren. It comes back sometimes in that person's life and sometimes later on. Right? By Yom Kippur, we're talking about that Tzadik the Yablon, right? That whole Merdeka Maisa. the Rebbe that was all the years, so many years, he was away from everything, and then he came back. It's just how long a person can be away from it. The neshamas of Jews are hungry. Yoshevi is galah b'kor gadol. Father Rabbi, yisat sim ma'oy, they'll be very strong. V'yarav gadol ma'oy, there'll be tremendous hunger. So that's the Seder HaDevarim. There's the Pekida, there's this awakening. The awakening is not identified as anything which is holy. For the most part, it's seen in some sort of it's interpreted as being something secular. Then there's this throwing away this kfir with the Yiddishkeit, this investment into Gashmias, rebuilding, and then all of a sudden, now that we got all this fancy stuff, then Jews start to feel like you know, I want Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi. It's amazing. The Arav Godel Moed Machmas has Nachas Hamazna Ruchanikas for so long that the spiritual food was missing. And this is exactly what the Navi is talking about. Vishlachti Rav Baris, before Mashiach comes, I will send a great hunger into the land. Lo Rav Lalechem, Lo Tzomer Lamayim, Bislishmoz Devesha. Now that the Gashmias has gotten so much better than it ever was. Oh Hashem, even in Eretz Yisrael, it's much, much better than it used to be. I mean, there's still people in Nebuchadnezzar, but it's much, much better. Gashmias. But now what? Rav, now Jews are so hungry. Rav, Sahi Rav, Lo Rav Lalechem, Lo Tzomer Lishmoz Devesha. I will send a famine into the Ba'aretz. Ki hu rav Ba'aretz davka hayne Be'aretz Yisrael. The place where this hunger is felt most is in Eretz Yisrael. Lacha binyana, after now the years of building Eretz Yisrael up, hishlachti rav Ba'aretz. There's such a hunger. That's why I told you a few weeks ago that where my wife and I was zeichet to be last winter in Yerushalayim. So we were. I told this. I don't know if it was this chabura, the Arab Shabbos chabura. We were living in Wolfson. You know what that is. And so, by Shari Chesed, and there's Gan Sakers over there, and there's such a tumult going on there, and the Gan Saker, and I didn't know what was going on. It turns out that Yishai Ribo was there, and there were like 15,000-20,000 secular Israelis, and there was such a concert, a whole big thing in the park. And then all of a sudden it's Rabbeinu Sha'ag B'kol Gadol, and I hear 15,000 people without yarmulkes, without hardly with clothing, screaming out. I mean, I didn't go there, but people told me that they were there. A lot of people walked over to say, and we were talking about the next day in shul what was going on, and the whole neighborhood was hearing this secular people screaming out Ein Shum Yesh, Ein Shum Yesh. And he's giving like a drasha to them. There's such a rav, such a hunger in the land. Unbelievable. It's felt more in Eretz Yisrael than over here. Over here, everybody, it's much more superficial than that, but over there, so strong. And there's after that, everything's been built. Vaz Yoshev ha'izun l'machni Yisrael, the balance will return. B'shilu v'shal Torah g'dulu mokam echad. With physical well-being, economic well-being, and social well-being, with Torah and Mitzvah together. Neshama kabira beguf chazak ve'etan, a strong and powerful soul and a body that's healthy and well. That's the tachlis. All right, but we'll come back next week. We need to look a little bit into 17. Talks about that balance.
What's the Ramchal's time?